Welcome everybody to our regularly scheduled meeting, scheduled for Tuesday, March 28th, 2023, at 7 p.m. This board met an executive session beginning at 6 p.m. this evening. We ended right around 7 p.m. and during that time we discussed legal and land issues. At this time I will call the Board of Supervisors meeting to order. And at this time I ask everyone to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Christman, would you please conduct the roll call?
Certainly, Supervisor Zanuda.
Here.
Supervisor Corrado.
Here.
Supervisor Nunn.
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff.
Here.
And Supervisor Bruza.
Here.
There are five present.
All right, seeing as the full board is present, we have a quorum. The next item on our agenda is visitor or public comment. It's the time of the meeting. We normally advise all in the meeting room that it is posted within the meeting room, but we wish to advise all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. So, anyone coming up to the podium this evening to speak must state your name, first name, last name, and address. Now, that doesn't really include people that are here that are on the agenda for that business, but during the public comment session, both the beginning of the meeting and the one at the end of the meeting, we ask that you identify yourself in that way so that we can keep accurate minutes. It's also very important because in the old days, we just had written meeting minutes. Nowadays, we have audio minutes as well. So in order for those folks listening, who might be at home listening over a computer, they also, you know, they can't visualize what's happening. They don't see it, but they can hear it. So we have to make sure that people are speaking, that we know who is speaking at which time, and that we can understand what they're saying. So you have to keep your voice up. If you come up to the podium, adjust the microphone as necessary so it's in a place where the microphone is picking up your voice properly. We will do our best to speak into our microphones, and sometimes the audio in this room is not always great, and so sometimes we try to be careful that we're not drifting off when we're speaking. So if you get to that point, you can't hear what we're saying, please raise your hand so we can see and wave, and we'll speak up. It's a little unnatural because they're right in front of our faces, but still, with that sort of being out there, let me just open up then the first visitor or public comment session. Anyone wishing to place comment into the record, you know, you're addressing the board, you're placing comment into the record. This is the first such time to do so. We just ask that you come to the podium.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Lee. I live at 3
Could you spell your last name?
B-E-L-L-U-C-C-I.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, sorry. So
I don't think it's on.
Is this thing on?
Oh, okay, here we go. All right. So we live at 354 East Chocolate Avenue, and thank you because we and our neighbors got the letter about the traffic study that you completed. And so I just wanted to come and just, A, ask if there would be a time when we could all sort of give input, and B, say that we agree with the majority of it. We think, though, that narrowing down to one lane and having the turn lanes designated will pretty much resolve any issues that we have. We think some of the suggestions aren't probably necessary. If that's done, we think it will all kind of work out in the wash. So we were really happy to see that, and we'd like to just have some, if, like, I know some of the neighbors asked when that would be coming up, and we didn't know, so if you could let us know, maybe, so that some of us can...
Yeah, so I would ask Mr. Christman, since I think you're the one who drafted the letter. Did you draft the letter?
Yeah.
Would you mind, Christman, following up with Lori and or those neighbors, because you could probably have a meeting at some convenient time during the week. It doesn't need to be a full board meeting, but you can at least then have a good dialogue with the township manager. And if there's things we need to do, he'll come back and make those recommendations of things we need to do differently. Because I think we would be interested in your observations on any of those items.
Right. Like, there was a proposal of maybe the center, like there is one at Para where I guess pedestrians can stop halfway. But there aren't really pedestrians at Mansion, so we felt like that wasn't really necessary. But it would be really great if, in doing away with the merging, we could put in a parkway to give some kind of buffer to the sidewalk that's right against the road. It's just today we almost got into something, but it's very dangerous because the cars aren't merging when they should be. But if they do, we think it'll be great. And the only other thing I had, and this is just my own, I sound like an old woman who's too concerned about everything, but they started that digging by the bridge for like 5G or 6G or some kind of G cables, and they didn't have EPA approval and they stopped. And my question is, why do they have to go under the creek? Why couldn't they just put a conduit with those cables to the underside of the bridge and not have to dig at all and destroy the brown trout or whatever is the issue? So just a suggestion, because I actually spoke to someone who they do that in Lancaster, and they said it's easy and then it doesn't disrupt everything. So it's just still there where it was a couple years ago when they did it.
They haven't done anything since
then. No, it's just, it's just the same. They did come and try to plant some grass and do that, but they never actually connected under the creek there. So just something that's still hanging out there.
Well, I'm glad you came to me to tell us this.
Sure, and that's all.
And we'll ask Mr. Christman to follow up. And maybe Mr. Stump can participate in that meeting since he's our engineer, and he'll help with those recommendations.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Did you want to come?
Yes. This isn't school, but you don't have to raise your hand.
Pardon me? Oh, sorry.
That's not the
My name is Susan Fotos, F-O-T-O-S. I live on 3 Spring Creek Lane in Hershey. And I'm here with them to say we're very happy to have this letter and feel like we will move forward with some of the issues that we have. And one, I know that's going to take a very long time, but I do want to come here to appeal to you to do something about the speeding. It is so incredible that we really can't postpone this any longer. I walk on that road every day, as do many people. And the speed at which the semis go and the cars go, I drive it, I'm really aware of what 35 miles an hour should speed feel like, and it is 65. And people pass. We're just waiting for some giant calamity. And I'm like, maybe if we don't have enough police, don't have the money, that I know you can't use a gun to assess the speed. I'm sure that that's a problem. And I know if we change the lane issue, that's going to help. But in the meantime, there was an older woman walking down the sidewalk yesterday, and she stumbled, and I was behind her. And I thought, oh my God, you could put your hand out right here, and it would be taken off. It's really excessive. And if we have the speed limit markers, but we don't enforce it, you know, I believe that you've said that there's more traffic policing, speed policing, but I don't see it. We're all out there walking, all of us, a lot. But I really beg you that we have to do something. Because there's going to be something really bad's going to happen to one of us if we trip or fall. And unknowing people are running and jogging and riding their bikes, and they are stuck.
We'll talk to the police chief about
to see what we can do.
The traffic detail in that area. Yeah, and you're right, we have that issue in many areas in the township. And so they are doing these things, but We'll add that to the list because you make a good point about the speed at which people are driving down.
It's because they're on their way out of town in a big hurry, and then they're speeding. And if you could picture this, if you're coming into town and you're by the golf course, and I'm in the lane to turn left, but people are passing. So you're coming, and there's someone in your lane because they're doing an illegal pass because they're trying to get around. It's crazy, and you're like, oh my. You know, and I know the golf course, they feel the same way about trying to pull out because the traffic is so fast there. And then one other quick issue. Since I walk and I go right on Mansion Avenue, almost every week I see someone coming, you know, down Mansion to, Chocolate, and they do turn left, despite the sign that says all. How about when you actually draw an arrow on the road? That's always, like, pretty obvious then, if you draw a big arrow going right. Because it is crazy how you think there's a sign. But those arrows on the road seem effective. So anyway, we're excited we at least kept something moving, but we appreciate it.
Good thoughts for consideration, they are. So let us take a look at that. We'll talk to you. That's not the chief there. So I don't want you to pick it on me. But we will talk to the chief. Lieutenant Dumble, we noted.
Because they'll be happy to meet, and we'll do anything.
Unfortunately, you don't actually have to convince us. We know that that's
a problem. That's why I walk in every day about this is crazy. I don't know what is in our power to do.
It's literally gotten to the point where we have to set up traffic enforcement details on probably a half a dozen to a dozen roads around the township, and we don't have the manpower to do those simultaneously. We have the manpower to do one or two, maybe one at a time. But in order to deter speeding in the way that you're suggesting, the way we'd like to see it, it can't just be one time. Repeated enforcement, and then we are just stretched. The department is stretched thin to do that to begin with.
And so we say, residents of the township, well, what can we do? Do we need to raise more money to have more officers or enforcement? Because we feel like that we have to have a solution rather than watch that. And we have considered ourselves making a speed bump right there. We thought that would be.
You can't make your own speed bump on your own.
See, we're kind of at that point. Well, let's just figure what we need.
It would work, but you can't make it.
It would be dramatic.
We are working on a plan to add officers to the department.
Okay.
One of those things we have to kind of do over a period of time because that is, while it's all, we all agree it's worth the expense, it is expensive to add, five officers at one time would be a big expense for us. But we have been adding over the last 3 years, we keep trying to add one or two at a time, and hopefully there'll be a time when we have, it's a shame it has to come to this, but that we may just have a traffic enforcement detail, but that's all they do. So that's where we're headed. So
you could employ us. We'd have signs, stops. Listen, we're being creative, so
Listen, the feedback's important because sometimes I think, we feel like sometimes we see things and we hear things from people, anecdotally around the township. But when people come and they may hear about your own observations, so we don't just think we're making this up in our own heads. It is helpful because it gives us the... if we don't want to ever have to raise taxes, but if we have to raise taxes to pay for more police officers to keep people safe in our community, we're going to do it. We've just tried to do it creatively over the last couple of years without raising taxes. So we are headed in that direction. And
if there is ever that business bypass, that might help because the semis, they are going so fast. And that, is most dangerous because they couldn't stop if somebody... I know you don't want vigilante neighbors out here trying to think about
vigilante neighbors. I know your neighbors. Are there any vigilante neighbors?
Right. Well, just to say, we don't want to go there either.
Thank you very much for coming out and talking to us. Is there anybody else that would like to come? Thank you very much. The next item then on our agenda is the consent calendar. We can take all of these items under one motion or each of these items individually. The items, I'm not going to go through all of the items other than to just at least identify them. One is the adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes. and for March 14th, and for a public hearing in Board Health on March 21st. The next item is the reduction of performance security for land development plan for the Goddard School of Hershey. Third is the reduction of financial security for stormwater management plan at 50 Laurel Ridge Road. And the last is the approval of accounts payable and payroll for March 28th. So, those are the four items. Look to the board for a motion.
I will make a motion. Do we accept the consent calendar items A through D as outlined in tonight's agenda?
Very good. Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. All items under the consent calendar are approved. That will take us to new business. The first item under new business is an update from Mr. Rikas from the Derry Township Municipal Authority.
Good evening.
Good evening, Bill.
How are you doing, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, staff? Good to see everyone. Just this year. Do you guys hear me? I believe when I attend these quarterly, it relieves pressure from Mike and Carter for giving the update on the authority, so they can relax tonight. And I do want to make note, so that the two new members that that your board appointed to our board in January have started, Kelly Hefner-Means and Bob Cerenera. So they've been quite welcomed. I actually gave them a tour of our facility. Gave them the dime tour, actually. Bob was very interested, same with Kelly. So it was great to have them on the board, and I think they're going to be a great asset for our board as well. We were successful for the first time in, I believe, the authority's history on the Dauphin County Gaming Grant, so we appreciate the township's support on that. That money, we were awarded $65,000, so we're applying that to offset debt service for the Spring Creek Interceptor project and the Ridge Road sewer interceptor upgrade. So that was much appreciated, again, on the township's support of that project. The stormwater management program manager position, we did fill that. That was with our current senior staff engineer, Mike Postick. He was a former DTMA board member, as many of you might know, for 7 years. He has over 30 years of engineering and consulting experience in our industry in wastewater and stormwater. So we know he's going to excel in that position, as he's done for us since he came on as a board member. Just a couple wastewater project updates. We're just soon closing in on the start of and commissioning of our energy enhancement project. So what that's going to entail is really we have a large power plant project we put in, and we're going to offset our electric costs, as I've mentioned to the board. It's going to really provide a significant savings to the authority and our ratepayers. We're really excited to get that up and running. Right now, the commissioning is looking like June. So it's going to be right in time as we have a big tour for our state PWA conference, Pentec. That's going to be in Hershey this year at the Hershey Lodge. So we're going to be hosting a tour. We're going to be able to showcase the new improvements that we're offering, you know, for the community here. So we're really excited about that. We're also doing a stormwater tour for all the improvements we've done around town and the community as well for as part of the Pentec. I mentioned this briefly in the past, is our biosolids improvements and how we manage and handle our solids from the wastewater treatment. We've moved forward and are going with a gasifier drum dryer system. What that really means is we're able to just volume reduce and diversify to other outlets other than land application of farms that we have validated in nearby communities. So that's really going to significantly curb where we think regulatory changes are happening in the land application world. It's already happening in New England states where they're banning land application. So we obviously want to get ahead of that and do the right thing environmentally sound with the biosolids from our plant operations. The High Meadow Pump Station upgrade project with folks in the room here that benefit with the West End project, we're aligning that upgrade to meet their schedule and to accommodate their growth with that project. As I know you've seen several land apps before the board here. So we are moving forward with that project. We're looking to get that out for permitting here with DEP over the next couple months. From a stormwater project update. Bullfrog Valley Stream and Deer Run Stream restorations are nearing complete. Bullfrog Valley is pretty much complete. We're just waiting for a spring really to stabilize the seed and grass growth there. The Deer Run, it's probably about 90% complete. So there's still full use of access for the trails and walking trails and so forth through those communities. Again, that was a really strong benefit with working with Hummelstown Borough and the collaboration of that project. They were able to meet their pollution reduction credits as we ahead of our permit requirement here this year. The Forest Avenue Basin retrofit, which is contracted with the Oakmont Community Stormwater Swale and Basin Project, which also has the Wood Road culvert replacement. We had quite a bit of discussion here today with the staff when it was at the traffic meeting, and realizing the potential impact on doing the culvert replacement across Wood Road. So there's quite a bit of coordination that we have with the township and staff. And of course, the police. I think we ended up, we're going to try and not close that road, especially right now with Waltonville being closed as well. So there's more to come on that, more we're going to coordinate as far as the time frame. Likely be within the next month or so to start that work. But we're going to see if the contractor can maintain a one-lane closure at this point. And try and reduce it as much impact as to our customer, our community as much as possible. One thing to note on this project, we're going to build in the contract, the Shank Park entrance culvert replacement. So, Zach, we'll be talking and coordinating on that. We're just waiting on what the time frame for materials to be delivered. Likelihood at the end of next month, early May. So we'll talk more offline on that. The Ridge Road Drains Project, that project's on track, still scheduled to begin and out to bid fall of this year for construction. We've had great communication with the Hershey entities, particularly Hershey Park, and being able to work within their time frame as far as park open and off days and things like that as we build the new storm sewer alignment and the outfall there within Hershey Park's grounds. The other thing to bring up real quick is if any of the board members are aware of the Dauphin County's initiative on the regional stormwater planning, they're calling it the REP program, so it's the Water Resources Enhancement Program. We have since joined that, so we're one of 20-plus municipalities in Dauphin County, and really it's a collaborative effort to look at holistically the watershed approach and how we improve this area in Dauphin County. The streams have no municipal bounds mostly. So, and with our initiative and our project list that we have in our capital improvement planning, we see a strong benefit to be able to, as being an early entry, a stakeholder on this program with the county to really push our initiative and some of the improvements that we're looking at along Spring Creek. And as we collaborate with the Spring Creek Watershed Group, we have meetings, which I don't know if the summer group, we had a meeting in February at the historical Hershey Historical Society, the barn. Yeah, and that's really taking shape, but that's going to take a long time. I think their plan was to have something even in 2024 as far as the watershed improvement plan. But we're working alongside them, and I think there's some synergy as we develop the list and how that might be implemented through Dauphin County's plan is yet to be decided, but we're certainly going to advocate for it. The other thing I want to mention is Chuck Emmerich and Matt Bonanno, myself, and Mike Postick have worked pretty diligently here. Well, some have worked many years on updating stormwater management ordinance, and I think we got that pretty well ready to go. And if it hasn't already, I think we're going to ship it off to the solicitor here for your legal review. With that, I'll open up any questions for the board.
Bill, I have a couple questions. Maybe just alert, but has your board or your solicitor talked a little bit about the PFAS issues and whether or not we have any PFAS? That's that. The PFAS is that forever chemical they talk about. So for folks, a lot of firefighting, foam was used, PFAS in firefighting foam and things. It's used in all kinds of products. But EPA and DEP coming out with regulations around PFAS. You may be collecting it, right? We could be collecting it unwittingly, not even knowing that we have it, and that we could have. But we might have to ultimately treat for it and remove from our discharge from our plant. So is that at least on anybody, on your solicitor's radar?
Oh, it's on our radar, staff. So I'm involved in several committees. I'm involved with PMAA, we're you know, really a task force on how we're handling it, and also with the biosolids changes. The main focus here is, number one, the study came out and said our region isn't a hotbed for PFAS. Have we tested that ourselves? No. We're waiting for our lab that we have contracted to have the equipment and become accredited to do the testing. And that's some of the biggest gaps right now in research and you know, having the really the sampling method approved. So that's what we're really waiting on. We can do that test. It's pretty expensive to do it. But it's a peace of mind, and we're going to go ahead and at least move forward with that piece of it to see where we stand with everything. You know, I know the hotbeds and what they're saying in Pennsylvania is more Philadelphia, Pittsburgh area, but nonetheless, there could be, you never know. So.
And you might want to reach out to the Hershey Water Plant, the folks at Pennsylvania American Water Management. They might be tested their water supply, right? Water coming in off the Swanara. And that's going into people's homes, and they're going to have to make sure they're PFAS compliant as well. But you would be getting a lot of that same discharge if it existed, even if it really might, you know.
Yeah.
The detection levels are so.
Yeah, because the EPA put out a. They put out a detection limit, or.
They started with like four. It's like trillions. I mean, it's gotten down, so it's so low. But still, it's important because the chemicals never really go away.
Sure.
But I'm glad you guys are looking at it, and there may be other partners you have in the utility space that have information of their own that they could share. Maybe some of them, that's on the DEP website you can find as well.
Yeah.
That would at least give you guys an indicator, because if other people aren't finding it, or it's not in very, very, very low detection levels, it's likely that it would be for you too.
Yeah, the state and national conference, that's all they talk about right now. So it's a hot button. It's a hot topic.
The other issue is, I don't know if you've been following, I'm sure PMAA has, but that borough of Westchester case, the stormwater fees, and I don't know how that might impact.
Yeah, I think we're set up uniquely. We're different because we're a municipal authority. So our act was actually revised in 2017, the Municipal Authorities Act, to actually have it where the authorities set rates for stormwater purposes of maintaining a stormwater system. So that's a separate, different issue than what West Chester Borough is dealing with.
Okay.
That was at least our initial opinion on that. There's more to follow, of course.
Yeah, I just thought it had to do with Westchester University claiming that they, you know, that the fee imposed was really a tax as it related to Westchester University. But your solicitor could give you a good explanation of that for you to determine based on the fees that we impose on our, I would say, our industrial customers here, the larger customers, not just industrial, but the larger scale customers. We probably want to analyze that. But sounds like you guys are on top of that.
Yeah, one last thing on the PFAS topic. As I mentioned, the biosolids gasification project. There's still a lot of research to be done in our industry, but it's indicating that gasification at those higher temperatures, 2,000 degrees, has a way of, I don't want to say disrupting PFAS, but maybe changing the carbon chains with PFAS. So that's something we're really going to be looking at when we get this system up and running. We'll do a lot of testing for the industry.
There's a lot of work going on with the Municipal Authority that most people don't know goes on, right? There's a lot of work. So thank you for being in charge of all that and doing such a good job.
I appreciate that. And we're going to open up the doors with Pentec and the second week of June. We also want, like we did in years past, have the community come and see our plant. We got a lot of unique toys behind the fence that most aren't probably realized were there.
And it's a highly regarded sewer plant. I mean, everything you have there, this system is very highly regarded. So, a lot. And your predecessors did a great job, and you've continued.
Certainly. So, appreciate that.
Anybody have anything for Bill?
I just wanted to thank for answering my question earlier today.
Oh, yeah, you got it.
I think the board is aware I sent them copies to. I found out today, earlier today, that Baltimore being shipped the wastewater from the train derailment in Alski, Ohio. And Baltimore Municipal Authority was planning on rejecting it. I wanted, since we're a highly technical facility, I was wondering if maybe we were contacted at all.
Yeah.
Bill was nice enough to say no. He hasn't been contacted yet. Mr. Chrisman also chimed in. Thank you.
Yeah, we will not take hazardous material. Simple as that.
All right, Bill, thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it. Hopefully I'm at the time frame here.
Thank you. That'll take us to the next item on the agenda, which is item B. The preliminary final land development and stormwater management site plan for Hershey Square proposed outparcel development, plot 1353. I know it's Mr. Emmerich, but I know we have the folks representing this project here in the attendance as well. So turn it over to Mr. Emmerich. Kickstart.
Sure, I can't explain all those little yellow boxes on the plan. But anyway, during the regular meeting on December 6th, the board granted conditional plan approval for plat 1353, but deferred action on the final plan due to concerns for traffic in the area of the development. Additionally, the waiver that was requested to provide a fee in lieu of a traffic study was denied. The applicant has since completed and submitted their traffic study, their traffic impact study, which has been reviewed by HRG. The applicant is seeking the board's direction regarding timing for the PennDOT permits and associated intersection improvements as related to the final plan and site construction. I've asked Eric Stump to summarize the results of the traffic impact study related to the deficiencies created by the proposed site's traffic at the Hershey Park Drive, Walton Avenue, May Street intersection, and the proposed improvements. Once he's provided that, I do think the applicant would like the floor to talk about the time. So with that, unless the board has questions for me.
No, just make sure Eric speak right into that mic so we can all hear you.
So we've reviewed the traffic impact study. This is the first time we've seen it because it was initially requested a waiver of the traffic study. Traffic study, there are some technical items to clean up and some work to do on that end and some additional analysis that we've asked for, but I think the results are pretty close to probably what they'll be, if not just a little bit worse than what they're already showing because they're increasing some of their site traffic from what they had in the initial study. But the study showed that there were, with or without development, several deficient movements at the signal at Hershey Park Drive and Walton. Without any improvements at the intersection, those deficient movements get considerably worse. They are proposing as mitigation adding a second westbound left turn lane along May Street to turn onto Hershey Park Drive. Chuck's got a concept of that on the screen here. Because of the alignment of the through movements and the left turn lanes there, and then kind of the skew of the intersection, they believe that would need to be split phased, which essentially means that May Street would get the green light for left and through movements, then that would turn yellow and red, and then Walton Ave would get the green light for yellow for left turn and through movements, and then turn yellow and red. So instead of having through movements and left turns occurring simultaneously between the two approaches, they're proposing to have those go one side and then the other side. We think that makes sense given the alignment and the way the traffic binds there. A lot of intersections split phasing kind of hurts your overall capacity in this case because of really the through movements and left turn movements on both approaches are fairly balanced and both. Where all four movements are fairly heavy, Split fading actually does not hurt the capacity too much, so we're in agreement with that. The addition of the second left turn lane is consistent with what we've identified previously, both Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Study as well as the planning study that was completed years prior to that in terms of adding that left turn. And ultimately, there's the recommendation to widen Hershey Park Drive and extend the culvert and do a lot of other work there. That's much longer term. This would kind of be a step towards that ultimate plan. There, due to the alignment of the through movements through there, they're proposing all of the widening to be on the opposite side of the road, the Applebee's side. Again, that makes sense. And my understanding there is that right of way on that side of the road is under their control as well. Hershey Park Drive is a state road, so it would require an HOP to make the improvements as well as PennDOT would need to approve the revised signal permit. So it would be two permits from PennDOT, the signal permit and the highway occupancy permit. PennDOT has not looked at any of this to this point, so they are, it's uncertain if they would be in agreement with the improvements or not. They might want to think something else in addition or instead should be done. Again, we just haven't had those discussions with PennDOT to this point. There are, as I mentioned, deficiencies that are created by developer that are existing that are made worse by development traffic. This improvement does go a long way towards improving the levels of service and at least maintaining the current level of service. There are still some queuing issues from the signal. The through movement along May Street backs up past the driveway into the shopping center. Without our development, it's going to back up a little bit further with our development, even with this improvement. And again, that's the through lane. So the left turn lane with development, where the dual left turn lanes they're proposing, would not back up to the driveway, but the through lane is still proposed to back up beyond the driveway. And then the driveway from the shopping center exiting onto May Street, that's level of service C or D without development, depending on which piece we're looking at. That level of service degrades to a level of service E or F with development. There's no mitigation proposed there. There's not a lot you can do at unsignalized intersections. Obviously, it's too close to be signalized. I don't think an all-way stop would be appropriate there. The only thing you could consider is left-turn restrictions or one-way restriction. If we have to at least consider those, I don't know that that creates a lot of traffic coming out there that would, if the left turn were restricted, that would be all routed through the shopping center, past parking aisles, and that is not a good alternate road anything that was designed as a queue movement through the shopping center. So, again, it's not a good situation going from level of service C and D to level of service E and F at an unsignalized intersection. That's one of the comments that we've asked us to at least look at and consider alternatives. And the other thing, that level of service does not directly account for the fact that sometimes that driveway is going to be blocked because the cues from the signal are extending through. The analysis just doesn't take that into consideration. So we've asked them also to look at a simulation to see how that shows it working. That does do a better job of accounting for times when traffic backs up past a driveway like this, an unsignalized driveway. And the last item that we brought up, I know sidewalk has been waived I think it's been officially waived along the site frontage.
Hershey Park Drive,
along Hershey Park Drive and along the Clover, essentially the frontage along Hershey Park Drive and back around the Clover Relief. Would like to see some pedestrian access into the site. There are some pedestrians walking to that shopping center and within the shopping center. We think that the proposed use would generate some additional pedestrian demand. There's over 100 trips that they have coming in and out of the site in the Saturday, so 100 in and 100 back out every minute. Maybe there's two in, two out. considerable amount of traffic on that driveway and having pedestrians walking in the driveway with sky rail on both sides doesn't seem like the safest condition.
No.
Essentially, to at least look at the feasibility of providing sidewalk and extending that into the site. Again, not along the front edge of Hershey Park Drive, but just access to the proposed site. That's all I have. So again, we did have some comments. I got some group notes looking at those and updating the study accordingly. But that's kind of where we are at this point.
So is the applicant, do you wish to address us or talk about any of this?
Yes.
You're right
ahead. Good evening. My name is Charlie Sir. I'm an attorney with Stevens & Lee in Harrisburg. Representing Hershey Square 2014. Of course, they're the former owners of the shopping center. The shopping center has been sold. So they are acting now as developer of this project that was approved in December, which has generated the traffic study that was just discussed. So they're going to be, they're obligated to complete the improvements, which would include any traffic impact improvements that we're talking about right here. I'd just like to talk a little bit about, not really about the substance about the traffic study, what we require, not require, but really about the timing issues that we have, and see if we can work out some sort of game plan, some sort of structure, and how we can move forward with both the development as well as move forward with the traffic improvements. We're certainly not looking for any votes tonight. We understand that. I had a discussion with your solicitor last week, but just here to express our ideas of where we think we can move forward with this and come up with a game plan that works with us, with our developer, and with the tenants that we currently have in our contract and what we will have to do with them going forward. So just to backtrack a little bit about this whole project, the plans here were submitted back in March of 2022, and at that time, the developer was always under the impression that there would be no traffic impact study required. And that was working through staff, going through that. That, of course, was in the final review letter from HRG, that would not be required. We were proposing to have a fee in lieu of doing the traffic impact study for that. Ultimately, the board decided not to grant the waiver for the traffic impact study. And that really set up the timing issue that we're involved in right now, because certainly if we had done the traffic impact study back in March, things would have been much farther along for us, and we'd be having a different conversation going forward with that. But as staff had said, the traffic impact study was done, and we do have some recommended improvements that we've shown on there. While they're not finalized, we think we're getting fairly close to what would be done on there. And of course, this does line up with recommended improvements that the township has, at least in the short term, for that intersection going forward on there. So a couple points that we just really wanted to talk about has to do with the timing of the roadway improvements and the timing of those in relation to the outparcel development and occupancy going forward. And there's a couple steps that I'd just like to walk through that we would have to accomplish to really make this work going forward. Of course, everything has to be submitted to PennDOT. This is going to be the township as an applicant to go through with that. So the township will have to agree to do that. There will be an agreement between the developer and the township to make that happen. And of course, the final plans would have to be engineered to be a submission. These are not fully engineered plans at this stage now, but that has to be done to go forward. So there is some work that has to be done before this can even be submitted to PennDOT. Also, there's some cleanup work in the TIS that Eric had mentioned. We think we can accomplish that, however, relatively quickly going forward. And that really kind of sets up the first item that we have is really part of our obligation that we have to our tenants that we have. We do have tenants lined up for the retail space going forward there. And, of course, we didn't anticipate this HOP process in moving forward. We were relying, of course, on staff guidance and the Planning Commission recommendations. So now we have a tenant problem on our hands that we think we can work out. We've come up with an idea which we think which would work. And we really have, the deadline that we have is June 30th. And the June 30th of this year deadline is really that we have to notify the tenants that we have final plan approval for the out-parcel development. Not a recorded plan, but final plan approval to go through with that. With that, we are able then to negotiate with the tenants to extend things out further so we can accommodate the HOP construction and the other work that's going forward. So that's really kind of the first deadline that we have on here. Now, we do have conditional preliminary plan approval. So what we would like to do as we go forward in here is we would like to be submitting the documents, the revised plans, putting in the plan sheets to include the roadway improvements into a final plan set so that we are being teed up for approval probably towards the end of May of this year. So it's about, you know, 5 to 6 weeks coming in from now. We think that's doable on our end to go forward. That would then allow us to go back to our tenants and then start negotiating out the process. If we would receive conditional final plan approval, at that point we can't record plans, and the conditions, of course, is to continue with the HOP process that we have on there. Of course, there would be a developer agreement to pull all this together, security put in place, and whatnot. At that time, we do anticipate that we would have the submission into PennDOT already coming in by the end of May, that we would be able to pull that together. So the timing is going to work out that the submission goes in at that part. Given the submission goes into PennDOT, with the question of, well, we don't know what PennDOT's going to do with this. Is PennDOT going to accept these improvements, or they're going to say, you have to do more, you have to do less, you have to do slight modifications? Of course, we don't know at that part. Given that this is going to be a township project, we're anticipating PennDOT as the applicant, we think PennDOT would be a little bit more agreeable to what we're proposing, since it doesn't line up with your plans, and it's coming in with that way. And we would anticipate we'd be getting comments back from PennDOT, hopefully sometime by mid-July, the first round of comments when we go through there. If the comments would come back from PennDOT at that point, in general, let's call it general okay with the proposal that we have on here, then we would like to then be able in a position to move forward and record our final land development plans at that point that we have. Now, of course, if PennDOT says, no, we don't want anything done there, we don't like this, nothing's needed, that's going to override it, and of course, no improvements would be done. If PennDOT would come back and say, well, we have to look at other things. There's going to be Project Creek. It's going to be making it larger, going forward on that. I think we'd have to have a discussion of what that would entail. How much would be the responsibility of the developer? How much would be the responsibility of possibly the township if it becomes a much larger township project going on there? The developer has limited ability to do things here, and they obviously can't improve the entire intersection, but certainly if it became slightly larger, other features were added, we could come up with limits that it would make the developer would be able to contribute with that. So if we were able to record our land development plans, once we have some sort of assurances from PennDOT that we are in the right zone of the improvements, there's only going to be some cleanup work to go forward. At that point, we'd be able to operate on a dual track, that the PennDOT process could then continue on, it could be finalized to the actual permit is issued, and the construction site work on our project could also then continue at the same time going forward. That brings us really to the last item, which is kind of project completion, both on the HOP side as well as on the project site. Certainly, if these improvements are warranted and are necessary, we don't want to be in a position that we can open and they can't be accessible. That's going to create a traffic problem. We know the township doesn't want that. So we were thinking of something along of some sort of substantial completion of these improvements, especially if this happens towards the winter months, that maybe the final wearing course couldn't be done, but some sort of standard such that the improvements would at least be accessible to go through with that. And if the improvements are accessible but yet not complete, then there could be an occupancy towards with the pad site that's being developed. Now, given the whole timing of all these, it's hard to say how it'll play out. We don't anticipate that these road improvements are going to take nearly as long as the site plan improvements, but we're not quite sure how it'll all gel out because we're just at the very early stage. At the end of the day, if that all worked out, of course, we would have the complete improvement on the shopping center. It'd be occupied, and the road work would be done and taken care of by the developer and fixing an existing problem with no expense on the township side in doing that. So that's sort of a framework that I'd just like to propose. I know it's a little bit unusual that we have, and I know it's not typically what you want to see people come and do, and I know you don't want every developer to come in and say, no, wait a minute, we want to do X, Y, Z. We think it's a little bit unique of what happened here, the way this project proceeded going forth, working in good faith. Basically, we had the majority of 2022, where no one was anticipating that we would be going through this process, neither our side nor the township engineer go through that. We also have the developer ready to spend its own money to correct the traffic problem existing, as well as to take care of its own anticipated traffic impact on an intersection. Again, we think these timing issues are really unique to our project, and it's not going to create some sort of precedent which is going to creep throughout your township on here. And I think at the end of the day, this could be a win-win to allow both of these things to happen. So what we're looking for is just to present that to you, that you can talk. You can talk with your solicitor about it. Pat and I have already had discussions somewhat over most of these points now. And I think he's certainly aware of that, so that he can explain that to you, and you can get a sense, and then maybe we can come back at your next meeting and get a sense of where you are. And we can start dealing with the initial things, such as, will the township be an HOP applicant? Can we even get to that initial stage? And then we can start to make agreements and have everything come together so it all works. With that, that's all for me. We do have Pablo Medeiros here. I know he wants to say a few words. We also have Holly Evans, our design engineer, and Greg Creasy, our traffic engineer. We're not planning to have them present any touchable stuff, but they're here if you have any questions. But I know Pablo wants to say a few things.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Madam Chairman, Vice Chair, members of the Board of Supervisors. I just wanted to add to what Charlie was saying, that we've always had a good relationship with Derry Township. I think Chuck will agree with that. And although we've sold the property, and as Charlie pointed out, we still have responsibility for development of it, we want to leave on a good note as well. We're looking, as Charlie said, for a win-win situation between the township and ourselves. So hopefully we can arrive at an equitable solution.
May I ask you your last name?
No, Medeiros. M-E-D-E-I-R-O-S.
Thank you.
So with that, if the board has any questions for us, we're certainly here. Again, we want to work together on this. Hopefully we can come forward with a plan. So any questions you may have now, we're willing to discuss.
Two points. Don't Mr. Creasy up near the microphone. We'll be from there.
He's already warned me. He has a date tomorrow.
my question to you, sir, is at least on that diagram, let me preface it by saying, when we talk about PennDOT's review of this project, based on Mr. Stump said his description of the level of service of these, the different intersections are different, turning movements in different lanes. They all seem to be, I mean, they would indicate what you've already said. So there's trouble and problems with this intersection to begin with. And even the little driveways, the two driveways, right? So wouldn't it behoove your client to make as many traffic improvements as possible? I'm not even sure what else can be done there that you haven't already suggested, but as much as possible, have PennDOT come back and say, you've done more than you need to do, just take these things out, these two couple things out, it's approved, versus doing, you know, perhaps, you know, taking some middle ground and then go into this back and forth thing with PennDOT where they like what you've done already, but they want additional things, and you're still kind of, we're just looking at ways to compress that time period with PennDOT.
I mean, I would really defer to the traffic engineers. They have the expertise on what they anticipate PennDOT's going to want and to do there. There's obviously dollar limitations of what the developer can do. On there, we don't want to generate too big of a project, which we're not going to do it, and we just not go through with that. So, I'm pretty trusting, I think, on both traffic engineers to come up with a reasonable submission to PennDOT, which is going to show the improvements that we're doing here, which is going to really mitigate efficiently balancing some of those interests on that. Honestly, now I don't have the answer to that.
It's fair. I just wondered aloud if that might be one strategy.
I don't think we're trying to cheap it out.
No, and that's the word. That's why I was careful about
that's
the word
the
I chose, like sort of the middle ground, right? And because I look at the diagram, and I think that if the project that's associated with the property, Starbucks, etc., wasn't being built, and you just made those improvements, it would absolutely be a huge improvement to that traffic on that side of the road. I wonder, though, with the development, come out of that, we still seem to have, in my opinion, based on what we've seen and Mr. Stubb described, still going to have trouble out of the first driveway and then the second driveway onto Bay Street. For instance, I could see PennDOT coming back and saying, you really can't, for those folks, let's assume for sake of argument that many of the folks coming to the Starbucks are from out of town, like many of our retail locations, and they're headed to Hershey Park from that location. You envision a scenario in which people are making a left out of the first driveway, coming on the larger driveway, and want to make, they really, what they want to do is they want to get to Hershey Park Drive and head towards Hershey Park. And I guess, is that north on Hershey Park Drive there? I'm getting lost on my directions. But you would literally have to cross potentially three full lanes of traffic to get to that, so they get to that right-hand turn lane. And I think PennDOT might rightly say that you could envision a number of certain times of the day where the traffic would stack up to a point that you couldn't actually cross all those lanes of traffic to go north on Hershey Park Drive, which would then back up the traffic on the first driveway, potentially on the second driveway. And the reason I'm pointing that out is because I could see a scenario which PennDOT, and Mr. Stump alluded to it, would say, you got to make a right out of that first driveway, like right out only, and then they'd have to go all the way back up to the top of the square and make a left-hand turn to come down Main Street. So this is a complicated area. It's not your duty. It's a complicated area to try to fix this traffic situation.
Yeah, and again, we don't know what PennDOT's going to say. We have multiple traffic engineers in the room here, and I'm sure they would all come up with something. And, you know, I'm not a traffic engineer. I know a lot of people think they are and know a lot about traffic, but, you know, there's a real possibility or a chance that what comes back from PennDOT is something that says, we can't do this, and it kills the project, and nothing happens. And that's a real possibility here. We hope that doesn't happen.
Are you at liberty to disclose with us? If you're not, just say you're not. I'm not trying to probe anything, but the other tenants that you have lined up besides the Starbucks, are you at liberty just to share with us, even if not their name, but the kind of establishment they are?
Yeah.
They're signed leases with with Aspen Dental and European Wax.
What is it?
Euro Wax? European Wax?
Wax?
Yes. Wax.
Okay.
So not huge traffic generators.
No. Well, that didn't, thank you. Because that's
my job. Not really popular.
So, okay. That's helpful to know in terms of the overall project.
Starbucks is still really
the
traffic generator. That's what they're.
Does anybody else have any question they want to recognize? You do, Mrs.
I do. I just have one. So it looks like, at least from the plan that is on the screen right now, at least from what I can see, there's one change that's made along that access road, but it looks like there's now two lanes coming off of. So if you're coming up the driveway from Starbucks, you're making the left. There's a left-hand turn lane and a right-hand turn lane, because that doesn't exist there now. Is there anything additional, any other improvements inside?
That exists right now.
Is there any other improvements inside the development that are being proposed?
I don't want
to help with like that stacking issue.
Lots,
is there anything else?
Lots of improvements.
Do you want to?
Yeah, now you've invited them.
Keep it short. Sorry.
I got to earn my money.
Now, Greg, you have to say your name for the record.
Greg Creasy, Creasy, with Phil Miller Engineering, Harrisburg Traffic Consultant for the project. We are currently, I think the plan that was submitted, I think Eric had some suggestions on it in his comment letter about providing signage that people are having trouble getting out of the, I call it the hotel driveway, because that comes up there now, that the people can find their way through the shopping center and come out one of the other driveways. And informal discussions, considering some other, do you have your pointer, Jeff? Do you not have it out tonight?
I have one just for you.
I'm very familiar. considering to help with this queue backing up here, considering looking at providing a stop sign for those coming down the hill here, and providing some pavement markings in the intersection that don't block the box intersection, so if people are backing up from here, they don't continue all the way across, and maybe it provides a two-way stop situation here where the people would have to take turns. Obviously, they would keep yielding the folks coming in. We would not be having them stop. There are supplemental signs that you put underneath the stop sign to let people know that that direction of traffic does not stop. So when they're looking there, they know it's not an all-way, because we don't want people obviously backing up into here. And that don't block the box type of situation is something we can also consider for an application out here. That people, I mean, we wouldn't put a stop sign, I don't believe, on Main Street coming down the hill. But the thing of when traffic starts to back up in this through lane, if people are stopping here, people will be able to get out into this right turn lane, because it being a free flow lane, more or less, they just have to yield here. You don't have a queuing problem in this lane. So it would help address your situation. So I mentioned that to Eric. He's aware that I'm looking into that and stuff. We haven't come to any formal agreement on it. But as Chuck said, him and I are going to have to come to an agreement. He's going to have to approve the traffic study at some point and agree on the improvements, because you guys get to review the HOP and this, everything that gets submitted. So it's going to be not a team effort, but more or less a collaborative effort between everyone to get to that point where we submitted to PennDOT. Something that we think is very appropriate to address the situation that's out there.
And Mr. Creasy, will PennDOT also have say over those mitigation efforts that you just talked about, or will it just be the main intersection onto their road? Like, will they have any say over what happens inside the development?
My 25 years of experience to this point, I do not speak for PennDOT in the future ever, because they change their mind from time to time. This is on the site of a commercial development. As long as we are not doing anything that causes traffic to back up on the state road, they won't really have any say in it. They won't generally don't comment on that. They won't review that. They're just worried about the general intersection areas. Typically, what they're worried about is the state road. At least that's my experience. When you get that far off the line, and if traffic backs up this driveway, that PennDOT doesn't really. I don't know. You asked me what PennDOT.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, is that something that, I mean, are we assured that those mitigation efforts will also be part of the plan?
Yeah.
PennDOT doesn't say this has to be.
If we are proposing those things, they will be shown on the land development plan and the improvement plan. And you guys would have, the engineers and you guys will have to sign on that, because you have to be the applicant.
Okay.
So that's part of the working together to get it done right.
And that, one of the things that we were going to do is Hewlett Pass, those plans would be put into the land development plan sheets, so those type of details could be added in into the land development plans that we have. So particularly they're caught. You know, it's not just lost in somewhere. They're put on there. And then if the project changes, goes through with that, assuming we went along with the framework that I laid out here, those could be supplemented also. So I think we have a mechanism to catch those items that you talked about, the sort of more on-site stuff. We'd be able to catch that and make sure it's properly documented, secured, and installed.
One other point I've been reminded. We are looking at this, the opening up for the additional lane and the right turn lane. Again, it was one of Eric's comments to look at that distance and having some informal discussions. I think it's going to wind up, you're going to come around the radius here from Applebee's, and then probably the taper will start there to provide it so it's not so abrupt. Something that we should, because we don't really want to be widening it back past these driveways. It gets confusing for the people coming out of the driveways, and we'd be at a more appropriate length to start something back here. Again, this was just a conceptual sketch that we started from, and these are the details that get ironed out so the age of people can progress. I'm going to try to sit down.
I'm related to the traffic side of it. How big is the building?
Square footage wise.
7,500.
And how much is Starbucks taking?
2,500.
Okay.
Is it a
drive-thru? Will there be a drive-thru?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just have a few. I want to make sure I was listening closely and mainly the dates. You said the June 30th is tied to your tenant. That's when applicants going to be looking for the ability to be ready for a final plan to be approved at the end of June?
Well, during that, probably the beginning of June, end of May. Unfortunately, it takes a little while for the tenants to respond and to work on these things. So if we have a June 30th deadline, we can't give them something on the 25th and expect a result. It just won't happen. So we have a little time.
And you're looking to revise the land development plans to incorporate the anticipated traffic improvements sometime in May? Sometime in May?
Correct.
Okay. And then you're looking for, I guess the next step is you're looking for, not tonight, but at some point in the not too distant future, whether or not the township is agreeable to being an HOP applicant and therefore the HOP applicant application, or I'm sorry, agreement between the developer and the
township
associated with the PennDOT application.
Correct. Probably the next meeting, 2 weeks from now, that we would expect. Otherwise, our timing is just way off.
And then you're thinking, at least you're hoping for comments back from PennDOT sometime in July, with an understanding.
Right.
And at some point around there, thereafter, an understanding as to whether or not PennDOT's okay with whatever design come up. And was there another date with respect to completion? The actual improvements?
Well, it was then, the thing was eventually to be able to record the plan once we got the okay from PennDOT. That would happen sometime in the summer, July-ish. And then we'd go really straight towards occupancy, the completion of the improvements. That it would be a substantial completion of the PennDOT improvements. We would be able to occupy the completed pad site.
Okay. So, I think currently, yeah. Chuck, correct me if I'm wrong, I think currently we have until the end of April to act on the plan. So don't be surprised if you get communication from myself or Janelle or Chuck with a time extension to at least get us through May. We're looking at you submitting the final plans in May, probably to the end of May or sometime mid to late June for purposes of acting on the final plan.
I get the notification, we'll give you a proper extension.
And then in the interim, I'll start thinking through the PennDOT application. I understand that you don't have anything tonight. I think the township, do we have any idea when the engineers will have a meeting of mind as to what the design would be?
They told me a matter of weeks. Right? I mean, hopefully soon. You know, if they don't have much to make it work, otherwise the it just says off the window. So I think we'd be about weeks. We would be anticipating submitting, I think, you know, towards the, you know, beginning and end of April to get that through. That gives you about a month to really get that hammered out. We get that submit plans, then we'd be having that plan approved during one of the May meetings.
I will say that I know you're saying next meeting for the HOP agreement. I can maybe preliminarily float you a draft, but I'm thinking the time frame for the board to formally approve entering into that HOP application agreement will probably be their second meeting.
No, that's fine. I think we're just looking for the approval, understanding, listen, once we get the okay, the paperwork will follow. Because we only, you know, once we know you guys are okay with it, I'm not worried that.
And I'm not saying anyone's okay with anything tonight. I'm just trying to find my way through what you took us through in the time.
Sure.
That's all. That's all I got.
The drive-through at the Starbucks, and I think I can see what the motion would be, like what the path would be. Guys, comfortable? I'll ask your development team, but I'm comparing this to the Starbucks again in the outlets. And that drive-through line, if they were a Aspen Dental and a Eurowax next to the Starbucks at the outlets, it would be a very pricey situation for the people trying to access those two places with the drive-through line, because the drive-through line is often very long. And I'm just wondering, like, I think I see the route, but I'll raise that just as an issue. I raise this as I have in other projects about generally public safety of the people that are actually at that location that are using it. That may not be the Starbucks in this particular case, but maybe visiting the other tenants, and what that line of, there is going to be a line of cars going through that traffic. You know this, and I know this. We're going to see it in the summertime when this thing, whatever summer it's open, if it's open, you're going to see a line there. And I hope that it is safe for people to park their cars in those line spots and still walk through this traffic. It's, I only compare it to the one in the outlet, so maybe this will be different. Maybe that's a statement and not a question.
That's
a
question.
Pablo, you could guess.
Do you want me to respond to that? Are the other tenants are aware of Starbucks? They've approved the layout.
Well,
the parking field to the right.
They will, of course, they're going to be thrilled because there's going to be a lot of traffic coming to see that, you know, and then maybe they get some foot traffic in there. But once they're there, we got to make sure we all have an obligation to make sure they're safe.
Understand?
A lot of Starbucks requires a lot of pavement markings, a lot of signs as well. So I think it'll be well signed to make it safe.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much. We look forward to being at next meeting and then having views and thoughts and views. Very. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you. That will take us to the next item on our agenda, which is item C. It's the proposed zoning ordinance text amendment for dwellings for employees and students as a conditional use of the commercial mixed-use zoning district. Mr. Evermore, just set this item up as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item is seeking the board's direction for a proposed zoning ordinance text amendment as requested by the Milton Hershey School in concert with the Hershey Trust Company and Hershey Entertainment Resorts. The proposed text amendment would allow for dwellings for employees and students in the downtown core 9.1 overlay district of the Hershey mixed-use zoning. Dwellings for employees and students are presently permitted by right in the Plan Campus South and Medical Campus Central zoning districts. Pat Armstrong and I have edited the original draft supplied by the Hershey Trust Company, and Pat has continued to edit it even in advance of this meeting. But I'm going to highlight the items that are in the draft as was attached to your agenda. As I noted, this would only be permitted in the conditional use 9.1 overlay. The minimum lot area for this type of use would be 3 acres, as written. There could be no more than two occupants per bedroom. They're seeking to have the height limited to 65 feet. And by comparison, I do note that the Hershey Plaza Apartments is 89'7" according to their original land development plan, and the Hershey Community Center is approximately 90 feet tall at the highest point of the roof. The supervisors would be given discretion to allow a certain number of units without kitchens, or the ordinance would be written to allow a certain number and then allow the supervisors to allow more as the drafts are being crafted. All units would be subject to the park and recreation open space fee in lieu of dedication. Occupants of the units are restricted to prospective students for the school, prospective employees or actual employees of Hershey Entertainment and Resorts in this case, but in the ordinance it would be broader, or their family members or alumni under the age of 26. There'd be a recorded declaration restricting the occupancy of the units, as noted above. The declaration would also require the Board of Supervisors to be notified and approve any changes. The use is dependent on pedestrian sidewalks or a transportation system, and the design of the site should be leaning in that direction. As you can see on the, for instance, what I've projected on the screen, there is a cul-de-sac drop-off turnaround as part of the ordinance. There's going to be a commercial element required as part of the conditional use. The size of that is still being fleshed out. Basically, when we've done our work in developing the comprehensive plan and our zoning ordinance, we've tried to ensure that properties along Chocolate Avenue engage the public, that we have a continuous corridor for the public to travel. As uses are pushed further back from the sidewalk corridor, then the need for the commercial space is less essential, and that's reflected in the draft as it's written. For this type of use, we're looking at a parking ratio of one parking space per dwelling unit plus parking required for any accessory commercial use at the regular rate. The building and site would be subject to the downtown core design standards as it's in the downtown core. The applicant would be required to do a cost-benefit analysis for the project, as was done with Hershey West End or any master plan requirement. The maximum dwelling units presently proposed is 49 units per net developable acre, and that's consistent with the underlying zoning district, the downtown core zoning district. Any building awnings must be set back a minimum of 5 feet from the adjacent right-of-way. Any modification would require a new conditional use hearing. And then there's a few others, that gives you the general flavor of the type of conditions that would be associated with this conditional use. So if the board's agreeable, after discussion, to move this text amendment forward, it'd be appropriate to instruct Pat and I to get it to the Township and County Planning Commissions.
You representing the applicant?
Good evening. My name is Zachary Severson. I'm an attorney with Eastburn & Gray. I've been having a lot of conversations and emails back and forth with Pat, and I think we've had some pretty productive conversations. I'm here tonight on behalf of Benchmark Real Estate and the Hershey Trust. They're developing property for the Hershey Trust. I think that Mr. Emmerich provided a very thorough and nuanced description of what our amendment is proposing. I think that there were a few items that Pat and I have been discussing that I think that we maybe wanted a little bit more feedback from the board.
Sure. So I don't know how in-depth you want to get this evening, but two of the items that Zach has suggested maybe reconsidering is one, there is a provision currently in subsection E that indicates that the Board of Supervisors may consider an applicant's request that up to 25% of the units be constructed without cooking facilities at the time of the conditional use hearing, and then if it goes on to say nothing herein shall entitle an applicant to any such request being approved, and such approval shall be within the sole discretion of the Board at the time of the conditional use hearing based on the evidence provided at the time. And the request is more so, the language is more so, shall I say,
essentially what we proposed is a sliding scale that basically says, depending on the total number of units that are being proposed in the building, we would be permitted to have a certain number of units that would be without these cooking facilities. So essentially what these units are going to be for, they're kind of quasi-hotel facilities for people that are visiting the school, potential students, parents of students, people that aren't going to be staying in them for like a long period of time, and for which maybe having cooking facilities isn't necessarily the safest situation. Right now we're proposing 15 units without these cooking facilities. So the amendment, or the language that I had provided to Pat the other day, would allow for, if a building has 50 total units or less, then it would be permitted 5 units to be constructed without cooking facilities. If a building is 100 total units, it would be 10 units. 101 to 150 would be 20. Again, that would be the category that our proposed development would fall under. If it were 151 to 200, it would be 25 permitted units. And if there were more than 200 units, it would be a maximum of 30. And then the language that we provided would allow for some more discretion if it were to go above 30. Really, I think the rationale and why we're looking for a little bit more finite direction in the ordinance as to how we're to proceed is exactly for that. Because when you come in for a conditional use approval, typically, you want to know whether or not you meet the objective criteria in the ordinance. That's what you're looking for. So I think that we are looking for more of a definitive direction within the zoning ordinance as to whether or not what we're proposing is complying with the ordinance, rather than kind of the more discretionary language that Pat had initially proposed. So I think that was just kind of what our response was and how we're responding to Pat.
Normally, I would tend to agree with Zach. However, this is the without cooking facilities is such a different item or issue for a zoning ordinance provision. I thought initially to leave it, within the discretion of the board, based upon whatever was presented at that hearing. I did forward you your proposed revisions to Chuck. I don't know if Chuck had anything to add, other than, I don't know if we have any issues with the numbers of the sliding scale.
Yeah, my preference is always to have conditions of a conditional use that are finite. And at least as a basis, and then discretionary if something more than that is desired.
So I think that the language you proposed, I'd like to think, is kind of a marriage of Pat's desire to add a little bit more discretion to the board, but also giving us some finite direction on what is and is not permitted within that section. So I think that that back and forth has been productive in kind of reaching this proposed language that we have.
What were the other?
The other item that I believe Zach was requesting to consider as provisions was in subsection J. I believe they're okay with the first paragraph, meaning those structures within 25 feet of Chocolate Avenue shall provide 50-foot ground floor area used for non-residential uses, unless otherwise approved by the board. So basically, they're required to provide 50% for commercial, retail, whatever, aside from residential, unless the board at the time of conditional use will approve it. The request is to consider revising it from when you're beyond 25 feet from Chocolate Avenue. The request is to allow for more of a sliding scale, I believe, as opposed to a flat requirement of 25% of non-residential use on the ground floor, unless otherwise permitted by the board of conditional use. So the way it reads now is if the structure is more than 25 feet from Chocolate Avenue, the applicant needs to provide 25% of the ground floor for purposes of non-residential use. They're asking for it to, unless otherwise permitted by the board at the time of the hearing, they're asking for it to be more of a sliding scale for that non-residential use for
structures beyond the 25 feet from Chocolate Avenue. Again, 50 to, well,
essentially, what we kind of applied the same logic in creating that finite scale that also provides some discretion for the board. Essentially, you know, again, based on the total number of units, if it's 50 total units or less, then 400 square feet of ground floor area would have to be dedicated to non-residential use. And I think it's important to note that that non-residential use is not necessarily retail, but it could be office, commercial, and or retail space, pursuant to the language of the ordinance. If it were 50 to 100, 51 to 100, it would be 800 square feet. 101 to 150, it would be 1,200 square feet. 151 to 200 would be 1,600 square feet. And then anything over 200 units would be 2,000 square feet. And then if you wanted to go above that 2,000 square feet, then the board would have discretion to consider that and grant additional non-residential square feet. And again, I think that Chuck kind of hit the nail on the head when he said that really the issue with providing this non-residential space is the distance that we are from Chocolate Avenue. We're set back. You know, it's not really a feasible area for retail. And for the use that we're proposing, this is the square footage that we think is really feasible for what this use is and how it's going to be interacting with the public and, you know, the people that are living in the building. So I think that really goes to kind of the feasibility of what we think is actually possible on the building.
Chip? Okay, so I think your group has done a good job working with Pat and Chuck to, as far as the text amendment is concerned, put together language that accomplishes our goal, which is we're going to grant a text amendment for zoning along that area. We quite frankly, we didn't want to have apartment buildings erected on Chocolate Avenue, which would in essence create more traffic in an area that's already got lots of traffic. So I think that you've done this, but I want to be, there's one area in here as it relates to the occupants and our understanding all along. I think we've always been clear that, you know, there's a list of basically, you know, it's alumni, it's prospective employees, it's employees. I'm unclear if in this draft, when we talk about employees, is there a time limit associated with the length of stay that an employee associated with an employee, because for prospective employees it's 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me if we don't have an associated limit with employees, it starts to become like an apartment if there's no term limit. So
okay.
It has not been, is that someplace else and I'm missing it, or is that something?
I don't think that that's specified in the ordinance.
Normally, Ken will just yell from the audience.
Well, I'll invite him up to you.
Chris, I guess the differentiating factor is we're providing, you know, that we're not providing somebody housing for years and years. It's
what are you envisioning in terms of the housing for employees?
Yeah,
what kind of a length of stay? I understand why you might need to bring people in initially for some initial housing until they can find suitable housing.
Yeah, and I think that's the intent, and Craig, what you're not pushing is it's possibly that there'll be conditions applied to this when it's approved, and, you know, more detail, it's exactly, I think that's the appropriate place to put some.
In the text amendment?
Yeah, well, not necessarily the text
amendment. If you have it in there, well, I don't know if it's in the text amendment. What are we looking at here? So I'm looking at that screen. It's hard for me to tell.
That's the draft ordinance currently in the packet. So you're looking at the provision in subsection G of the 22.
Correct. And so we have time frames associated. We have some age limitations. We have some time frame limitations. Why wouldn't it be appropriate to add a time limit for actual employees in this subsection G?
We can revisit that.
And I'm not trying to be overly difficult. Maybe it's 12 months. What we want to stay here with people, employees. What if an employee, under this arrangement, if we change the amendment, and we amend the ordinance,
You could, in theory, have employees that are they're actually employed, but they could stay there. It would be like an apartment, right? If we don't have a limit, that's all.
And Craig, I very good input. I think what we're asking for tonight is they get this to Planning Commission, County Planning Commission, let Pat, Chuck, and our council work a little more on those kind of issues.
I'm only raising it.
I hear it. Very good, because it could have simply just been a mess. I think maybe 6 months.
That's it. I saw Chuck described it on the agenda. I thought that we were, that there are things we thought you
would
consider
and
raise.
And we're any considerations, because I said we just want to get this to the thing. We talked, I think, to everybody up here. We've talked to some neighbors. We've talked to Downtown Nursery Association. So we're, you know, as this goes through the process, suggestions and to improvements that we can live with, that's what we want. That's what we're all about. So.
And I think it's good to kind of parse these out now at the beginning of this process, because I think that's important to recognize that this is really the beginning of the process. You know, Pat and me and Julie from my office will kind of go back and forth on some of this language. The planning commissions, the county, and the township are going to be able to weigh in. So this isn't necessarily in final form. And I think that in terms of that specific question, I don't know if we have an answer yet. I think we probably need to go back and see what is a reasonable amount of time that we think would be appropriate and would work in terms of how we're envisioning this building to go.
So what we can do tonight, because there were some additional additions that I included your way just to look at, get some comments on that we can work through. So what the board can do tonight, you can do one of two things. You could wait and have us continue to work on it and get a more finite draft before we float it to the county and the planning commission, or the county planning commission and the township planning commission to at least get their feedback. Or if you're generally okay with the discussion we have tonight, specifically the two requested revisions that Zach explained, so long as Chuck is okay with it. I don't feel strongly either way. I think it's always the way it's written, you know, gives a little bit more ability for the township at the time of the hearing based upon the evidence that's presented to you. But I don't feel strongly with the sliding scale either, as long as the numbers make sense. I didn't do the math yet. But if it does, if the board's okay with that approach, with some of the additional revisions or additions that I floated earlier, and the ones that I floated were more towards that I see in like the student housing type ordinances, to try and nail down that, you know, owners of the property associated with these, that type of thing. If the board is more inclined to be okay with Zach, myself, Chuck, kind of putting this into a more finite, definitive, final form, and then allowing it to be sent to the County Planning Commission and Township Planning Commission so that the next time you're looking at this would be after we get the review comments back from the Planning Commission, so we can do it that way as well. So either you can say, hold off, get your heads together, get a more final form, and we want to look at it before you send it to the County and Township Planning Commissions, or you can say, okay, you know, based on the discussion tonight, we're okay with the three of you kind of packaging it more neatly based on some of the comments we heard tonight and forwarding on to the County Township Planning Commission and waiting for their review comments to come back to review this again. You're not advertising this for a public hearing at this point. You would simply be authorizing us to send this draft or the revised draft to the County PC and the Township PC to look at it and get their two cents before you look at this again.
And I think that might be a helpful perspective to bring in. Obviously, the Planning Commission always offers that a good perspective in these types of text amendments. I also generally, as a point of practice, I think it adopting a zoning amendment and then including a lot of ambiguities around what are the requirements can just prove challenging. You know, you kind of have the whole discretionary aspect of the board adopting the text amendment, and then you go back in, and now you have this discretion over these other aspects of it. You know, if the project is accepted when you think that it's worth moving forward with, I think it's just easier if we have that finite, definitive knowledge that we can meet those standards. So I think that's important to us.
That's your recommendation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and you know, going to the retail or the non-residential piece of this, I think that's based on, you know, conversation with the community and you guys. From a, what we're trying to create here is something that engages this site without keeping the impact to particularly traffic to a minimum. So that's what we're pushing to say. We don't want 25% non-residential uses on the first floor because, you know, make primarily the traffic issue. So that's why we're designing it to that, you know, input on that. And then there's a lot of retail that we don't, retail and commercial that we don't want to be competing with. This is a very specific use. We don't, you know, we don't want another 15,000 square foot retail.
And that's our overriding concern. So I will, we have to get input from everybody here. I don't have any objection with moving this forward to the Planning Commission and to the county to get their input, and then it comes back to us with their input, because I feel like we collectively have given a lot of input, and I think we've been very clear about what we will and what we won't accept, and I think the draft looks really good. Because our overriding goal is not that, this isn't so much about your project as it is, if we amend this, yes, your project will meet these criteria, but we want to make sure that it will, that people won't, that somebody can't exploit this amendment and build a hotel. That's not really the apartment, right? We're just concerned we're being
employer provided housing.
Right. And so I think that's the overall goal.
With the least amount of impact, we're here again, and I think that's why we're pushing back a little to say we don't want to create, and we'll again continue to get input from the public, but I think we're going to continue to hear that on the least amount of impact, particularly by if that dot donuts intersection is the objective. So
I will, and so what I'm gathering, at least from one of the supervisors, is that you're okay with the three of us, or if there's more than Janelle involved. To kind of package this a little bit tighter and then send it off to the county to attach to see the review. But I will note, this use, even though this is going to be new to the downtown core overlay as a conditional use, it is permitted. This is an actual use in the township in two of your districts, right?
Yep.
And which ones are those again? I should know. One's the
Plan Campus North and the Med Center.
So the question that I haven't actually asked yet is, are there any issues with those permitted by right uses in those districts that we could potentially capture in the conditional use aspect of it? That's not necessarily for tonight. Before, a lot of things slip my mind. So when we get back together and we tie this up before we send it out to the County Planning Commission and the Township Planning Commission, maybe if there's anything else that we can insert in there that you're seeing with those other areas of the township.
Those are permitted by right?
They are.
Today. Without much in the way of conditions. You and I are looking at the zoning ordinance, so if we need to tweak something there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you need some direction from us.
Yes.
You know where this side of the dais is, Rick and Mike? Are you comfortable allowing them to coordinate with Chuck and Pat, tighten it up, and then move it to the Planning Commission? Yes.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't have, do you have the zoning by chance to show them where this use is going to be permitted in the downtown core? Is everyone familiar with the downtown core, knowing where you're going to be allowing this use as a conditional use?
Well, we've seen it. Yeah, we've seen it.
Okay.
That was one of the questions we asked. What other properties would be impacted by this change?
I do have, yes, we were looking for input from the board tonight. So, Pat, what are your first Tuesdays of the month like? I think if the board would be agreeable, I think having Pat attend the Planning Commission meeting where this is coming through might help put full color into the proposal for them as well.
I have another meeting on the first Tuesday, but if I can get somewhere to cover that meeting, or if someone can my place in the Township Planning Commission, just to
the way this is stacking up, it would probably go to May.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that would just be our one question in terms of timing for our expectations and development schedule.
May 2024.
We're using May 2024.
Yeah, we're going to the last presentation
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get a definitive timeframe from this board. I think it's a draft ordinance. They're going to see the responses from the counties. First of all, we don't know when the county's going to get their comments.
So
back.
If we follow our normal Planning Commission submission dates, which is next Tuesday, so if we can wrap up this draft by next Tuesday, I can tell you we will have comments from the County Planning Commission prior to the Township's Planning Commission meeting. So the Township's Planning Commission will also see those comments.
I think you might get a better definitive response once the board sees this again with comments from the county. Because the county may provide comments.
We're anticipating once you get county planning and your planning commission comments that you guys will have to vote to say, let's advertise this and schedule a hearing.
So. Well, the county planning commission or the township planning commission can make recommendations.
Absolutely.
That this board likes. And they incorporate it into the ordinance, and then it has to go back to the county and the township planning commission once you do that. I mean, there's too many factors to tell you what the time frame will be. It's hard to say before knowing
we have a plan. We're just discussing the fact that hey, it just like anything else, that time is.
Well, we will keep it moving.
As
we will guarantee you what we would guarantee everybody else when we have. We won't unnecessarily slow anything down, but what will keep the process moving is as forthright as we can, and that's what we do. I mean, we can't control the things that are out there.
I understand.
The one thing that you do risk when you send a copy of an ordinance that you're not entirely sure if it's going to be the final form is if there are any changes made, it's got to go back to
them. We understand that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's always true. Anytime you send a draft ordinance to the Planning Commission, either way, you could run into a situation where they want to recommend a revision or something like that. So I think that the sooner we can get this in front of the PC and start that process so that, you know, even if they're looking at it a second time, they've already had a chance to look at it and comment and, you know, we're already one step further down the path. So I think that's why we would like to see this at least presented to the Planning Commission so that we can kind of at least get their initial feedback.
Well, I think we're in agreement. This, your group and Mr. Emmerich, Mr. Armstrong, and whoever else from Township can tighten this up in one of the lines we've discussed tonight and get it to the different plans. The Planning Commissions or whatever the sequence is, the right sequence, county first, then the township or vice versa.
We submit to both. So the deadline would be, as I said, next Tuesday. It goes out to both planning commissions. So they have a month to review it. They have 28 days to review it, probably.
All right, so I mean, that's...
It's as
finite
as you can give us.
Yeah, unless something major comes up, I feel like what was discussed tonight... And what we talked about publicly tonight, you're very close.
Well, yeah, we agree. And again, appreciate everybody's input, Pat, and all the supervisors and the community we talked to in developing this. Because I think this is a really, it's a very needed use for this community.
I think we all are in agreement. We wouldn't have agreed in the beginning to look at this.
Yes.
Your use is a laudable use for the entities that are involved in this. And so that's why we're willing to amend the ordinance. But the overarching goal is to make sure that what we craft for in terms of the draft language for this ordinance just limits the ability of somebody who would come after you and wish to build an apartment complex or a chocolate factory.
Pat's made that very clear in our conversation.
Yes,
yeah,
so I think we're all.
I appreciate
we can't be any. I think we're all aligned on that. That's the most
important. So. Okay. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Okay. Since we're looking at making a change in ordinance, in the abstract, are there any plans to build other facilities like this in the area?
Mm-hmm. Not right now. If this is successful and works, it's very unique and to be on a very.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a very. Economically, it's not an inexpensive facility to build, but could we look at it in the future, you know, 5-10 years from now? I don't want to say we would not. I kind of hope we do. If you look at, you know, those of you that have kids in graduating high school or college, You know, the problem is, hey, if you get a student teacher job in Philadelphia or anywhere, yeah, how somebody would, I mean, maybe this is a model that other organizations will model, where if you're an intern at the, you know, my son was an intern at the Hershey Lodge years ago, where they, you know, happen to be able to live with us, but you want to open up those opportunities to others, and I just think as a society, it's a missing link. This is obviously a model that would be difficult for others to follow, but maybe other corporations will pick it up.
Thank you. All right, we'll move along here. The next item is Supervisory Board or Committee Report. We're going to start on the far left and come right across. So, Mr. Zuda, Board.
Mr. Chair, we had a transportation meeting, transportation staff group to get together this morning, and I am going to let Ms. Nutton comment on that. So, other than that, I have nothing.
Thank you, Mr. Crowe.
Bill took my reports from DTMA, so I have no report.
Thank you. Moving along to you.
I'm about to
say, welcome, Mr. Crowe. Mrs. Nutton.
Yes, Supervisor Zanuda noted the two of us were part of a transportation staff meeting this morning, and we got some updates on regards to some projects throughout the community. First and foremost, we are approaching the summer concert series. HNR updated staff on their schedule for concerts, and plan is to use the same traffic mitigation strategies that have worked well for the last two summers. We also discussed all of the DTMA projects, so we are up to speed on potential traffic impacts or that those projects might have. We also discussed the recent grant awards that will implement some safety improvements that Mr. Stubb will talk about, but our residents that were here at the beginning of the meeting will probably be pleased to hear that they will have some positive impacts on their part of the township. We also reviewed updates to safety improvement projects across the township, including East Dairy and Loudermilk, also Brook and Cocoa. We discussed new opportunities for grants that the township can apply for to increase more safety improvements throughout the community. And we also talked about a number of other smaller projects like sidewalks and things like that. So a productive meeting, and the township staff is doing a great job keeping everything up to speed.
Mr. Whitehall.
I'm in the same boat as Supervisor Corrado. We had DTMA last night. I feel did an excellent job summarizing that, so I will close my mouth.
Well, I do have a couple of things. As it relates to the grant funding that we've been awarded from Commonwealth, Representative Mappy will be joining us for one of our meetings in April to... I don't want to say announce the awards because he has already shared those announcements, but he'd like invited him to come and discuss those awards. And so look for that at a future meeting. Even Mr. Representative Happy was very helpful in our successful grant applications. And so we'd like to give him an opportunity to discuss those a little more. Secondly, we have discussed on a number of occasions this board making changes to zoning, some of the zoning that was approved in 2017 and 19. For the most part, for most of these, most of us board members were not on the board during that time. Over the course of the last couple of years, through the introduction of a number of projects, we've grown concerned about the way certain ordinances have changed over the years, and we would like to see, I've discussed this with Mr. Emmerich and Mr. Armstrong, changes to some of those zoning ordinances. One has to do with the master plan and some of the benefits to developers and the benefits for the township, and perhaps adjusting those benefits for the benefit of the township, to the benefit of the township. We also asked about changing setbacks in the, say generally the village area. This is out of response from, in response to our concern over some of the homes that have been purchased in the downtown area, demolished, and then, you know, utilizing the new, the changes into the impervious coverage calculation and setbacks. We've seen much larger homes put up on these lots, and we've heard from residents, and, you know, they're upset about it, and so we'd like to see some changes. We'd like to go, you know, we've asked for some changes to those things to reflect our concerns. I know that community development and our solicitor have been working on these amendments, on language around these amendments for months now. So just an update from either Mr. Emmerich or Mr. Armstrong on when this board could expect to see those amendments come before us so that we can, you know, we can address these issues.
Well, I was kind of putting together the track changes for the master plan provisions and so on. Chuck and I haven't had a chance to go over the latest version of my track changes. We can do that. If the board's looking to add this to an agenda in one of the upcoming meetings, we can down see why we wouldn't be able to do that. For the master plan, I believe Chuck was working on the setbacks on the village.
The setbacks, and also, Mr. Chairman, there was discussion about modifications to the downtown core, the composition of the board.
Okay.
And those are done in track changes form as well. Pat and I were going to swap our track changes, kind of temper each. And
yeah, I'm good with that. I don't think you have to tell us tonight what meeting it will, what meeting in particular, but I would just ask, you know, we'd like to see that come before the board as soon as possible, because these are things that we raised as concerns about a year ago, and we want to make sure we address them before other projects come in that, you know, again, take advantage of these things that we would like to see changed and cause heartburn for some of our residents. So, and we think the things that we've talked about are things that make sense. So we're not, you know, we're trying to only address the things that that come to light during some of these applications. So if you'll just pledge to us that you will get that in front of us as soon as you can, as soon as reasonably as possible. I don't think it has to be April 11th, but we'll just be looking for
that. I will not be at the April 11th meeting.
All right, so other than that, those are the two things I wanted to raise in the supervisor reports. All right, so we'll move to departmental reports. And with the police department, Attorney Dettel. Nothing to report. And I would just, Lieutenant, just whatever you can just communicate to Chief Warner. He has certainly sat in that chair and listened to our residents' concerns over the last months, right? So, with respect to the traffic enforcement, I just would impress upon you again to take a look at key areas of the community where that repeated enforcement might yield some improvement, and we'll continue to work with the chief on taking a look at adding positions as well to help support that traffic enforcement detail. Okay? Thank you very much. And I know Mr. Sassaman is not what had indicated earlier today. He wasn't able to attend the next meeting, so we'll just go right to Mr. Clark of Public Works.
Our primary focus here at this point is getting the landscaping and what have you, the facilities and parks in shape, get a mulch, get pre-emergent herbicide down on. We are working as weather permits or as weather prohibits us. We're working outside. We're working to flip the fleet from snow removal. That's right, I said the four-letter S word. It's almost paper. I can do that now. We're flipping that from snow maintenance to asphalting. So we're getting that prepared for the upcoming season. We'll be able to start getting asphalt in April. In regard to the folks from Chocolate Avenue, I will check tomorrow there's a directional drill that's coming off of Governor Road and down Homestead and going east on Chocolate Avenue. That may very well connect into what they're referencing they started but didn't finish on the creek.
Oh, okay.
So I'll look tomorrow. That may be, I know what's going in today is 5G, so that may very well be connected into what they were referencing was left undone.
Tom, can you get us a list, just maybe by the next meeting, even if you just report out to us, now that the weather is starting to warm up, I imagine you mentioned asphalting. Are there certain projects that your team has lined up that you could share with us so we kind of know what the plan is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've sent that out in the spring and then sent a summary out in the fall before. But yeah, I have that down. I'll include it in my report at the end of the week.
And I'm sorry if you did include it enough and I'm missing it. That's not me. But that's why I say just even if you read what you did before, so because I'd like to make sure that we're publicizing to the extent that we are, it's winter's basically over, so we've got the normal potholes in different areas that are just if we can stay on top of which streets we're working on, it's helpful.
Yeah, I understood. I have a program at Streets Outline, however, I will say it's a bit fluid.
Yeah.
Based on the dollar values.
Sure,
I can get that to you by the end of the week.
No, just wait. Just next meeting we can talk about it. I just want to make sure it's in our that we're talking about it too, because it's one of those things we just take for granted because we know you're doing it. But it's nice to sometimes talk about it publicly so that we're all aware of it and having discussions. And if there are streets that we will suggest to you that you consider adding, at least we can, we know we're just having that open dialogue. That's all. Thank you.
Great.
Allison, library.
Just a quick reminder that the library is closed on Saturday, April 8th for Easter. And we have Lego Club at 4 p.m. on April 5th for kids ages 6 and up.
Thank you very much. Zach, Parks and Rec.
Yeah, thank you. It's Egg Hunt Week for us. So on Saturday, we'll be at Shank Park, 10 a.m. for our 37th annual Easter Egg Hunt. We're holding it rain or shine, like we do every year, but every year it seems like we're sweating it out looking at the long-range forecast. Right now, Saturday's looking a little questionable, but we're hoping that the weather window shifts a little bit for us. We'd like to thank the Hershey Company, Seaside Amusements, for their generous donations again this year. Also the Leader Center for stuffing the 10,000 eggs over the last month or so. And then also the fire department's not here tonight, but kudos to them. They'll be providing the VIP transportation for the Easter Bunny again this year. So huge thanks to them. Easter Bunny may be
voyaged.
Oh, yeah. So I'm not sure if you're aware, Becky Swigert is very, very close with the Easter Bunny, so she's arranged for those accommodations this year.
So there's no truth to the rumor that Mr. Zamuda will not be dressing up as the Easter Bunny?
Not this year.
Well, that's a great event, Andy. You guys have been doing a great job with that for 30 years. I don't know.
37.
So 37. It's just a great event. And good parents will teach their children the technique of getting the most eggs is to get to the end of, towards the end and start from
correct.
The back.
I've been watching this for 15 years. You don't want to stop at the first
egg.
You
do not want to stop.
You've got to run past.
That's right. That's very funny thing that you do that. All right. Mr. Stump Engineer.
As mentioned by a few supervisors earlier, Township got great news about 2 weeks ago. They were awarded a combined $1 million from two different grant programs, both from Commonwealth Finance Authority. One was $500,000 for multimodal, and then also $500,000 using the local share account statewide program, which is actually a new program. Neither program has a match associated with it. They fund engineering up to 10%. Engineering tends to be closer to 20-25%. So there's probably some township money that will be involved, but largely it's it'll be a grant fund project, and that is for
pedestrian safety improvements and kind of reinforcement of the downtown character on at the entry ways to the downtown. So it's improvements along 422 at Orchard and Valley, kind of the western gateway. And then on the eastern side, I had residents here earlier talk about the concerns they had at Mansion, some improvements there at Homestead and Para to try to get down to one lane by the time you're at Mansion and get speeds slower there. And then also improvements along the northbound approach along Cocoa Avenue by the new rec center with some fallouts and lighted signs there, pedestrian crossings. So the treatments at all three of those gateways, both directions along top of that, and then northbound along Cocoa Avenue. It's at this point there'll be some time until the grant agreement's in place, and then we'll get started with design and permitting. And so the time we're in construction is probably not till late 2024 or perhaps 2025. But it's obviously great news to secure funding for the projects. And I know that the emphasis on safety in the downtown, especially pedestrians, has been a key point of concern from the residents as well as the board. So, great news there. And more of just a heads up, there is a new funding program open. It's in Dauphin County. It's also a new funding program. Transportation Infrastructure Safety Improvement Program, TISIP. That application is due in June. Township staff is planning to attend a pre-application meeting with the county just to discuss a potential project there with improvement. It's Friday at 9. They'll be attending that, hoping to get some feedback on general eligibility of the project, and they get a good feeling that may be competitive, may move forward with that application. And that is a 25% match, so that there would be more of a township commitment to move a project forward there. And I think they're considering at this point lowering the curb along Hoppersville Road near Ariba, which kind of limits site distance. There's a pedestrian crossing there. At least that was the seemed to be a worthwhile project, and that meets the safety need that the funding program is targeted for, and is of the size that could be supported by that funding.
Eric, do you think at a meeting in April, it doesn't have to be the next one, but maybe we could put you on an agenda item could be just to review the projects where we could put them up on the screen, the projects that you and whether it's community development or police department, whatever projects we have, traffic safety, pedestrian safety, whatever we're planning to do with those funds. Just we have an idea that, we can see it up on a board and it comes to life a little more. I think, we generally kind of know the areas you're talking about because we hear about it, but it might be nice at a public meeting just to demonstrate what the projects are, and then that's one, number one. I just think that would be very helpful. And then Becky could even take that document and post it online as well. And then number two, with some of the improvements that we're talking about, is there any way to bump up some of them in terms of the time limit? Even the things from the folks that spoke from that live on Chocolate Avenue there on 422. So some of the improvements, some of that they would like, doesn't even sound like they cost much money to do. And I would like to think that we could do them sooner. If we're talking, I don't know that like on Mansion Road, painting a right hand only. It's a good suggestion, but the people that are going left there seem to me are going to go left regardless of what we pay on the road. But that doesn't cost anything or much to pay. So for some of those improvements, that's why I was hoping that you and Mr. Christman could meet with them and listen to them, what they were suggesting, because maybe some of those are things that don't cost much money. And so the grant funding isn't, we don't really need to wait for the grant funding to come in and put together a big long plan to get it done. So I just asked if there's any way to bump up some of those, because those folks, I feel like we heard from those folks a year ago, and I hate to think that it's going to take 3 years to make some fairly simple improvements, at least to give them a shot to see if some of these things can
Sure. And with the terms of the grant agreement, it may be difficult to break out individual pieces, but the way it's kind of separated through the three different gateways, maybe we could break out a piece and bid that separately from the rest. Certainly would need to go out to public bid, and that's using the grant dollars. And smaller improvements like adding some pavement markings and some legend, that sort of thing, certainly could be done independently.
Right, I figured that's what the thing. Those were the things I thought maybe we could pull them out and do it ourselves, to just so that we start making some progress. Well, and that's exactly right, because there were, as Mrs. Nutt is reminding me, there have been a lot of those improvements made with just the markings and lines. Again, it'd be good to kind of remind everybody where we did those things, because I think that was a really good example of folks being responsive to what we were hearing from the community. So, thank you.
Yep. You know, Mr. Chairman, thinking about that, it's a good idea. I'm thinking of the areas of complaint we had: East Dairy, East Chocolate, Forest Plain. You know, those areas. Maybe we could highlight those in particular and have underneath what we've done in those areas to mitigate.
Taking some pictures and put them on the screen so we can see what those improvements
look like. We categorize them as to the problem areas that we've seen that the folks have come to us for.
Yeah, I think there's value in that, sharing that type of thing.
What we've done and what we've done.
Yeah, I mean, I think, we often come to the meetings, and this is just my personal observation. When we come to meetings, we talk about a lot of good things, but a lot of times what we talk about in here doesn't really get disseminated to the public. We do a good job, Becky's doing a great job getting things out in the email, but there's lots of conversation we have like this that people don't realize, and so, when they come to a meeting, they sometimes feel like this is the first time we're discussing these things, and so I think it's good that we proactively kind of remind folks in these public meetings. Even if there's nobody here, we put it up on the board, though, and Becky can take that and share it. And it's for those folks who listen to our audio tape meetings. for those folks who listen to them, at least they're hearing about it, too. And these are success stories, right? So if we don't share that with folks, nobody's going to, it's hard to, however, them to know you did. Chuck, anything for community development?
There's a couple things. Just want to confirm, there was no motion needed to move that onto the planning commissions. Is that correct? To move the ordinance onto the planning commissions? Because I was told that there was no motion taken.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessary, but okay. If the board just wants to make a formal motion, you can. That way you and I don't get in trouble for doing it.
We're not going to, we've already done it.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm before the meeting's closed, it's too late.
The record's
As Bill's alluded to, what he really didn't say, starting back in 2017, we started revising the stormwater ordinance per new DEP standards. We're at a point now where DEP is mandating the adoption of the ordinance as part of the MS4 review. So we just, last week?
Yeah.
Just last week, finished it. We're done. So that's going to move on to Pat for a scour through. But basically, we're following the model ordinance that's been provided with our choice. Also, I want to make you aware that we had tentatively scheduled a hearing for April 25th for the fireworks ordinance. A public hearing is not necessary for that. That's being done under the general powers of the township, so that would just be part of the regular meeting.
Bill, I can't imagine that, as it relates to stormwater or clean water, that there could be an authority board anywhere in Pennsylvania that has more expertise on that board between Mr. Ferland and his needs.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's...
Those people were like part of drafting stormwater regulations.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable to have that.
Yeah, we're lucky. It's amazing that they're residents of the township, but that you guys are well situated as it relates to everything, stormwater, clean water related.
Yeah.
In terms of just guidance and advice.
Yeah, we're fairly well-rounded, blessed to have board members do that. So it's good people volunteer in the township. So.
Well, sometimes they don't necessarily volunteer.
Voluntold.
Is that it, Chuck? That's
all right.
Thank you very much. Mr. Christman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a couple of items for the board this evening. Number one on our list, I did receive correspondence from Hershey Trust this afternoon regarding the Waltonville Road closure. It is noted in their correspondence that they are anticipating lifting the detour on July 4th. That, of course, is anticipated if construction activities go as planned. It may open earlier, it may open later. It's all dependent upon their construction schedule and how they can get through certain aspects of that. I did forward that home to the board as part of an email, so you have a copy of the Gantt chart that they provided, kind of showing that timeline. The second item I wanted to bring your attention is the continued transition of our tax office. As you're aware, our occupation LST taxes are being now collected by Keystone Collections, and our real estate taxes have moved officially to Dauphin County for collection. Our collections process on our side of the coin has been very smooth. Our disbursements from both agencies has been very timely. At this point, I don't have real numbers to share with you. I'm going to wait until the close of the quarter so that we can take a harder look at the disbursements as they come from Keystone. But I can say that, definitively, because of their process, more bills have gone out than had gone out previously, which in turn should generate more dollars for the township and the school district equally. But to quantify that tonight's a little difficult. So we take a look at it. You have to look at exonerations that may or may not have been included in that number, and then certainly exemptions that were approved. So once all of those numbers kind of hash themselves out, I do think we're going to see an uptick in occupation tax collection for sure. But we'll get a close look at that in another couple of weeks. The last thing I wanted to point out, and Mrs. Photos kind of raised the point, and it kind of rang in my head a little bit earlier this evening when she talked about speeding and local use of radar. I just wanted to let the board know I do sit as a board of directors member for the Pennsylvania Municipal League, and one of the things that we advocate for and have been advocating for a long time is the local use of radar. So for 25 years I've been involved in local government. This has been a sore spot for police departments across the state to be able to use radar. But I know that Senator Rothman, who served in the House previously in the last session, I introduced a bill that got pretty far along and, of course, is stalled. He's now in the Senate. They've introduced that same bill, Senate Bill 459. That has been approved out of transportation and been referred to the Senate Appropriations Committee at this point. So I think this is our first chance in a very long time that this Commonwealth might have a local use radar bill that they can actually stand on and use. So that will give tools to the Derry Township Police Department moving forward. Fingers crossed we get to that session if it's approved. But, some hurdles. I just want to point that out, that it's not lost on us. It's something that the departments have been advocating for across the state for a very long time. So, nothing further.
I just want to, you talked about the occupation tax and that more bills were sent out. I just want to be very clear. So that means there are people that should have been receiving bills in the past that weren't getting bills and we weren't collecting revenue from. That is separate from the folks that got bills this year that had been exempted in prior years, but because of record keeping, et cetera, we needed folks to go back in and request certain exemptions. Some of that just had to be done, but that's not, you're talking about, there are people who haven't been paying this tax that should have been paying in the past years, and that's what Keystone is, what you're surmising is that because Keystone has sent out more.
Correct. They are, just to clarify that point, yes, you're absolutely right. So, as you know, Keystone also serves as the township's EIT collector under Act 32, when the state started to form these tax collection committees. Dauphin County's TCC appointed Keystone. So they've been the EIT collector for a very long time here. And as a result, they have the records that show who employees are within the jurisdictions in which they live. So there's a natural synergy that exists between the EIT records and, of course, our occupation tax records. So that's where you're seeing that cross. There was also some inconsistencies that came across from the software that was being used by the previous tax association. Some of that information was correct. Some of it was not correct. Some of it hadn't been updated timely. So that goes to the discussion about exonerations. And some people who had been previously exonerated by the folks that worked in the tax office versus it being in the system are two different things. Yeah. So what came across may not have been the same as what the people that worked there knew. Two different things. So yes, so there are folks out there that receive bills that shouldn't have, that are, you know, technically exonerated because of age or income requirements. That's all been handled and being handled by Keystone very timely. So our call volume in the township has gotten lower as time has gone on now since the occupation tax first went out in February. You know, we're dealing now with people actually calling and saying, hey, I didn't get a bill. And I want to just make sure that I'm okay. How do I make sure that I'm paying my tax correctly? We're getting more of those calls than the calls that we previously getting, which were, hey, I got this bill, what do I do with it? And I was previously exonerated. So, you know, we're walking them through that. Keystone has been very responsive to our, you know, any questions that we present on behalf of our residents. They've been contacting residents directly who have questions. And, you know, so is it a perfect science? No, but I think we are getting through it. And I think that because we were the first out of the gate, the school district will have a little bit of an easier time with their occupation tax later this year because this record is getting cleaned up first. Sorry if I went on a little too long.
No, but it makes sense. Keystone collects the earned income tax dollars. They know. So for people who should have been paying it, Keystone can see that. Whereas our tax association wasn't able to see that. They were sending out occupation tax notices and relying on responses, but there's a different checks and balance now. What's most important is that everybody pays the fair share of taxes they're supposed to pay. Nobody should pay more than they should be paying, but everybody should be making, we should make sure that people aren't getting away with not paying what they're supposed to pay. Right? And when we do that properly, you know, it gives us, it extends the amount of time that we can go without raising taxes on everybody. So it was always going to be a little uncomfortable, this transition, but we made it through. Everybody worked hard to make it work. I'm encouraged by what we're hearing so far from Keystone about the process. And I appreciate patience of residents who are going through this like we all are. Because we won't have to do this every year, but we have to do it this year. It was going to have to be a first time when we transitioned to the system when we have to do this. So,
it's like pulling off a band-aid. You don't go slow, you just go quick.
Thank you, Mr. Christman.
You're welcome.
All right, with that, we're going to dispense with the second visitor public comment session, seeing as there is, with all due respect to Olivia and Bill, and there are no members of the public here in the audience. But that will take us to adjournment. Does anyone wish to make a motion?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Motion made by Mr. Zamuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Corrado, second in the motion. All in favor, please vote
aye.
Aye. Motion. Ayes have it. Meeting is adjourned.
I'm going to have a brief agenda. 2.5 hours.
Wow.